Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Quentin Johnston, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier and Can't Miss Mitch for week three of the Circa Millions cast, where we're going to argue over our five entries into the Circa Millions this week after going 4-1 in week one. This week, I think we flew too close to the sun, boys. We flew too close to the sun in week one. Got a real slice of humble pie last week, going 1-4. So we need to get back on it, man. Get back on the horse and not make any stupid decisions, right? I look back at last week, and Mitch said he woke up that morning feeling bad about some of the picks that we put in on Saturday, and I kind of felt the same way too about some of them. So we're going to think through it. We're going to talk over some of these picks against the spread. Just a reminder, you can go to rosterwatch.com, get a premium membership, and you can get access to the algo, which is Mitch's magical machine. You get all the picks for the whole season with a premium membership, along with all of the different betting tools that we have up there, as far as the betting insights, public bets versus money percentages, the advanced matchup widgets, and the prop finders, to where you can find the best lines for your various player props across the sports books available to you. So go check that out. Premium memberships at rosterwatch.com. Boys, how we feeling, man? We can go 5-0 this week.
We're gonna do something. We're gonna bounce back in some fashion. Last week, I mean, we conversed on a number of the right picks. We just didn't end up, you know, putting them in. And I think what the total ended up being, I want to say across the first 2 weeks, if I don't quote it wrong, is that underdogs of more than, I think it was 6 points, are now 10-0, I want to say is the number, through the first 2 weeks of the season. Or was so?
He was seven. I think it might have been seven.
Lombardi had said 8, and then the Texans lost on Sunday night, didn't cover on Sunday night.
I think you've lost your mic, Mitch. Something came on. Something came unplugged there, brother. I'm not sure.
And then the Eagles didn't cover their 6.5 on Monday night. So I think that's 10, but I can go back and quad check that on Twitter.
Yeah. It's something bad, man. I mean, you need to be picking underdogs the first 2 weeks to have done really well. And if you got on any of the big public ones this week, like the Eagles for sure, 49ers, just all that was so bad. So regardless, we're back. We're gonna go over these. The first thing we'll do is we will, Mitch, is your mic back on?
No, so Mitch's mic. It was up for the whole time before the show. If you need to, you can just go through your headphones, Mitch. It doesn't matter. We can hear you. We can hear you fine if you want to do that.
Here's the number officially. Underdogs of 6 or more points are 8-0 against the spread on the season.
Okay, so that you were exactly right. All right. I'll talk about the ones I like the most this week. I got to thinking, look, and this is just so weird. Is it weird for me to think that the Carolina might not be getting credit for getting Andy Dalton in there going against the Raiders? It's just, that's something I'm thinking about. I just kind of wanted to throw it out there. You know, 5.5 points seems like a lot, but it is going to Las Vegas. I think Dalton's going to really help out as far as that whole thing's concerned. But the one that just stands out to me the most is I can't believe that Tennessee is 2-point favorites, or some in some places 2.5-point favorites at home versus Green Bay. Jordan Love was back at practice today. And I think maybe if that kind of gets out there, I think maybe by the time that the contest lines come out tomorrow, we might not get this line like this, but it almost feels like if we knew Jordan Love was going to play, and we've just seen that, look, me, Cody, you and I, we like Levis. We think that he could eventually be good. He's got some great tools, but the fact of the matter right now is he's not processing very well. He's making some dumb decisions. I know that the Tennessee Titans have been a lot tougher on defense. I looked at the matchup tool. This is the worst matchup for opposing wide receivers and opposing tight ends when you take into account the personnel and just everything we've seen this year via the proprietary algorithm. But I think that they have, you know, they have four guys who can hurt you in different ways at the wide receiver position, and Legarius Sneed can't be on all of them. And I think that Green Bay is, you know, I was impressed by him last week, even with Malik Willis, the way that they were able to establish the run and play good defense. So to me, I think that just the Tennessee Titans, just due to Levis, he's still at this point in his development, is still just very accident prone. I'm getting points here on Green Bay. To me, and I think the algo likes it. Mitch, is your mic back on? Do we have audio on you yet?
I hope so.
Okay, so we have audio. We have audio. I think your video might be a tad bit wonky, but we have the audio. So does the algo like Green Bay?
It supports Green Bay big time. So I am completely okay after last week, us fading the algo in the Circa 5. I think we can never do that again for the Circa 5. there were certainly points where we should have faded the algo, but bad manager selection, we're not doing that again. So let's definitely back Green Bay here. I'm all for it. I think this is a wild, wild line.
Cody, what do you think?
I think we have to have the discussion of if we're gonna put this obviously in the conversation, right? First off, we cannot consider Thursday Night Football if we're going to consider the Packers game, because I think that Packers situation is going to come down to the weekend if we know Love's going to play. So you have to either be good, staying away from the New England Jets game. I think across the board, are we good on that game? Does anybody want
to? I think we have to wait till Saturday. I wish we had that Buffalo Bills victory. I believe cost us a few other games for making irrational decisions. And that's my bad, because I was pushing the Bills hard, which we obviously were correct there. Algo, by the way, last week went 2 out of 3 on primetime. So continuing to deliver on the big stage, unlike, or maybe now, Kirk Cousins. So let's avoid that. Let's give us a few days to think this over.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's a good idea. And I think that the discussion has to, I mean, it depends what this number is going to be. Cause I think when Circa comes out, whether it's tonight or in the morning, whatever, with their number, I would have to believe they would have some pretty decent intel. I would like the line all the way in favor of, you know, if Green Bay was favored by up to
like 2.5,
4.5, like
no, Green 2.5.
They're 2.5-point dogs.
I know, but I'm saying I wouldn't mind. Like, I think I'd like Green Bay. Like, if Jordan Love's playing, I think I'd even like him at -2.5.
That's what I'm saying.
Cody, to your point.
I think I'd like him up to 4.5.
So to your point, and the way that the algo comes up with the value in the line is relative to the market. The algo's spread is Green Bay should be favored close to 5. So you're right on the button. We got a 24, really 25-20 score.
Well, right. Sounds kind of unanimous that the Packers need to be in this conversation.
All right. Mm-hmm. So as I was looking at the other ones, like I said, I have this thing about Carolina, like, but I don't know. I think Las Vegas has looked a little bit better, you know, and I think that the algo doesn't even like Carolina. So like, I don't love it, but to me, that one feels just a little bit sneaky. And to be honest, guys, at this point in the week, that one was kind of the only one that I was drawn to, except for maybe the Chargers. You know, they're getting a point and a half going to Pittsburgh. I know that. Look, I mean, I think that the way that they're playing right now, the Chargers, they're just playing so well in the trenches. They're playing better on defense. They're being opportunistic. I love watching Joe Alt play. I love, you know, Slater and these guys. And I think that if Watt is getting, you know, you go to the stadium fearing Watt, and I feel like, you know, they have the pieces in place on both sides of that offensive line to neutralize their best weapon. And you're getting these points here. You know that they're going to be prone to they're always going to be prone to turnovers as long as Fields is starting. I think they're a really well coached team. I think that they came out, they've come out playing well. And this to me feels like just a dogfight of a game that's probably going to be pretty close. And I want the team that's giving me the points. So I'm going to go with the Chargers, but I'm not sure if the algo likes it or if you guys like that.
I like the Chargers. We've had the Chargers in conversation the last 2 weeks. You brought them up in week one. We didn't take it. They covered. I brought them up last week. We didn't take it. They covered. And now they're dogs against the Steelers in Pittsburgh, which, like you just brought up, I think the tackles neutralize the best thing that the Steelers have. I think that they're going to run this football. They're going to be one of the few teams that can run the football against Pittsburgh. And if they don't win it outright, I do think it's going to be right there, like a 1-2 point game. So I like the 1.5 with the Chargers as well.
I disagree here. So I'm going to say, yeah, as soon as we jump on the Chargers, they're not going to cover because we should have taken the last 2 weeks. And so I don't personally like them. Pittsburgh at home, this defense is phenomenal. The Chargers haven't been tested at all. They've had cupcake of a schedule. So no thanks. Absolutely not. I don't like this. I like Pittsburgh at home here. This defense is legit, and Herbert hasn't seen anything like that. Harbaugh just hasn't been tested. So let's move on. Cody, I'm interested to hear, is that your two plays right there?
That's it. Yeah, that's
okay.
It.
All right. Well, I think the first one's in.
Like, the most conviction is on Green Bay. Like,
totally.
Yep.
And let's start to build it, Cody.
Yeah. You fade card on the Chargers, it sounds like. Okay, so I had just three that came to mind. I kind of shot them over in a text when I saw the lines officially come out this week. So I was drawn to this Washington line at +8 against the Bengals on Monday Night Football. We have a double Monday Nighter this week. So Jacksonville and Buffalo and Washington and the Bengals, they kick off.
Algo loves prime time.
So double primer on Monday plus primetime Sunday night. I actually like Kansas City on Sunday night and I like Washington on Monday. Washington's going to be +7.5 or +8 at the Bengals. And Kansas City is 3 or 3.5 at the Falcons, both on the road. And then the other one that I brought up was Tampa at home, going back home against a rookie. They had a rookie in week one, Jaden Daniels. Now they get Denver traveling back across country, back into Tampa. That's my highest conviction play is Tampa back at home, 6.5 point favorites against an offensive line that's fine, but not great. They do lose Vita Vea with an MCL sprain, but the way that this offense is humming,
is he back?
What?
Is Kansi back?
I'm not sure. I'm not gonna die on this injury thing though, because we faded injuries last week and it costed us. We went in on injuries with the Bucks and we faded them and missed it.
That's fair enough.
I like that Monday night play and I'll back it. I think it's too many points. It's a close game. Washington has phenomenal weapons on the other side of the ball. Cincinnati looks like Cincinnati. It's just going to be a tight game. It feels like too many points. So I'm good with Washington. Was there one more, Cody, that you mentioned? I thought you might have said you had three. Did I miss one?
Tampa was my conviction play at home against Denver. They get the rookie in Knicks traveling back cross country. And they really, I mean, their only weapon, like Trashman brought it up yesterday, their big weapon right now is literally Josh Reynolds. Cortland Sutton's been kind of locked up. So I think they get, you know, they get rookie treatment back home Sunday afternoon. I think that's a hammer.
The algo has fair market value on this game. So, you know, this is just more or less really, you know, some qualitative perspective, what we have, which I'll add without any analytics. It just feels like too many points, and Tampa plays a lot of close games that they win. So to me, I think this is probably a 4-point game, but yeah, Denver's look real stale. Tampa's defense still looks legit. Bulls is going to confuse the heck out of this rookie, like you mentioned. So I could be I'm a toss up again, fair market value. It just feels like 6.5 is too much, but again, can look at halftime score and say, I wish we would have faded the Broncos. They look like they stink.
I can see this one either way too. I am a little bit goosey and scared of these 6.5 and up lines, which just it feels to me it's just scoring kind of being down and passing being down a little bit and stuff like that. But on the other side of the coin, just if I'm just using my brain and just closing my eyes and trying to like, dude, they're probably gonna wreck Bo Nix. You know, we could put it in the maybe pile, I guess.
Let's put it in the maybe pile.
Okay. I think Washington's fine.
I'm good. I'm good with those. I think Green Bay, Washington so far feel really good. Let me add to that another high conviction by the algo. And I think, you know, when I look at this inner division play between the Rams, who are catching a lot of points at home, 7.5 points, granted, you know, their biggest playmakers are on the IR, or at least Kupp is headed there based on what McVay had to say. But I look at this more on the defensive side of the ball. And I think McVay, if he can, you know, exploit what Shanahan and crew are going to do, is just focus on first and second down. You know what they're going to do. They're going to run the ball and make Brock Purdy beat you. So I think they might be able to hang in there. I kind of see a close game, maybe a 6-point game at the top of that, which still gives us a value. But, you know, at home, it just feels like too many points to me. But, yeah, look, you are missing your biggest playmakers. I think that's baked into the market already. So
San Francisco is missing their biggest playmakers. Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel. You know? Jordan Mason has been good, but he hasn't been the receiving threat that Christian McCaffrey's been. He's been good between the tackles. He had a touchdown last week that saved his week. Minnesota had him kind of a little bit bottled up for the start of that game. He still got good volume and stuff, but he didn't look quite as sharp. Still feel really weird taking the team that just got absolutely boat raced by the Cardinals against the class of that whole division. But I can see the logic in it. I think McVay's I think he's a really good coach. I think he's going to have it dialed up, but I kind of thought that last week. Did you like, was there anything that you saw last week, which is the offensive line struggles and the woes? I think they got back Havenstein last week. Was there anything that you saw in that game last week, Cody or Mitch, that you could take away to say, well, maybe that won't happen again versus San Francisco?
This game just got away from them. Very different than the blowouts that the Saints have been able to do in back-to-back weeks. Those are just, you know, they outplayed them fair and square. I think the Rams, that game just, they got punched in the mouth, and the script that they had wasn't what they expected. They didn't prep for that type of game. And so their entire game plan going in, and that's all coaching, they got they got derailed. So they had to go to plan C, which there was no plan. We've got to basically throw the ball and be one dimensional. They had no ability to dictate that game. And so I think McVay is going to take this on him. And I think there's a little, you know, maybe brother rivalry, right? Sibling rivalry, if you will, between Shanahan, you know, kind of the first young head coaches there, interdivision. I just see him responding. I think he's going to take it personal and he's going to have a better strategy. And you're at home catching 7.5. I mean, you know, I think that's one thing when we look at last week, like, how are we taking, you know, this like road favorites? I mean, would you ever take San Fran -7.5? I wouldn't.
It was dumb. Yeah. No, I wouldn't. I mean, no. I think losing Debo is a big deal, man.
It is.
Like,
he's a matchup problem.
And Ayuk doesn't look normal.
What is this with Ayuk? I know in the
what do you mean? What's wrong with him? He hasn't practiced. He hasn't done squat.
He looks like he's been hanging out with Tony all off season.
Oh gosh, that wouldn't be good. All right. Well, I mean, I could be. Can you be talked into the Rams, Cody? Is that like maybe pile with a chance we probably get it in?
Or? I like it. I mean, they haven't beaten the Niners at home since 2018. They've beat them once at home since 2018, but they've always all been close. The only thing, you know, when you bring up home is that I know the Niners fans travel and they always make a big deal out of this Rams game being like a home away from home. But I think with how banged up these rosters are, I do lean into both defenses. I lean into this thing being pretty low scoring and 7 in a divisional matchup like this. Like, I just don't see this one going lopsided in either direction and getting a whole touchdown on the Rams side of it. You know, when I do think there's a chance the Rams could possibly win just because it's a rivalry game and the way it is at home, like,
all right,
it's out of pocket.
I'm fine with it. Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with it. If Mitch likes it, you like it, I'm fine.
Yeah, and let's look. I think there's a rule I have in my life where if I really like something, I've got to have a 48-hour period where I kind of think things over, and then maybe we wake up Saturday.
Oh God, car salesman must hate you, dude.
Oh my goodness. You should see the buyer's remorse. Look, you know, just by my ethnicity alone, it's in my DNA. So buyer's remorse is just cooked in there. And I think, you know, we can think about this one. Another one, I really, you know, speaking about the Cardinals and what they did to the Rams to get them out of their game plan, Gannon looks really good. I love what I'm seeing out of this team. They played great D. They played great offense. I think Detroit has been overvalued in my mind. And then back-to-back weeks, I want to fade them. I think, you know, Goff is Goff. And I think this is, you know, another potential advantage having gone against them when he was at the Rams. I think there's a familiarity and Goff just hasn't looked himself. St. Brown looks off kilter. I think, again, I love another opportunity to catch points at home. And I think this is an easy win for Arizona. I don't think Detroit is going to be able to go to the West Coast and win this game. I don't think everybody's healthy. They came into this season as, you know, one of the top favorites to win the Super Bowl. I think they're overhyped.
I don't like it. And my reason is whenever I think about Jared Goff, a lot of people talk about the home road splits and stuff. And I don't believe it's like, I believe it's like dome outdoor splits and all. And so this is a dome. And then the other thing is that, I don't like Goff whenever I know he's going to be pressured. Whenever I know that there's going to be a lot of pressure on Jared Goff, I don't like to back him or, you know, play him in DFS or anything that week. Like, but Arizona, they're not generating pressure. Like, I can see it in the matchup algorithm. Like, it's like they're a team that's not projected to hardly pressure him at all. And I just, what's the over under in this game? 52. I mean, it's going to be a back. I just, man, if you get in one of these high scoring affairs like this, I just think that the Lions, both these, what is this matchup for Arizona? What is the Lions? So just like usual, the Lions are easy against opposing wide receivers and opposing quarterbacks, but they're really hard against opposing running backs. And so That's not good if they're trying to get anything established or whatever through James Conner. I think he'll probably struggle here. And if you just look at if it's going to be a back and forth affair, you know, what I mean, your primary weapons you're going to war with is Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison, who's had, you know, one really good eruption game last week. It just feels like the combination of, and I guess we'll have to see about, have we seen any injury reporting yet about Amon-Ra St. Brown this week? I think No. It's fine because he was able to come back.
He's playing.
Yeah, it'll come out this afternoon. But yeah, he'll definitely play. It's just it'll come out this afternoon with the severity. Great question.
He'll probably be limited. But you know, Jameson Williams coming on is this dude who's like, I was running the beginning part of our expected points model, and once again, it's like eye popping how high Jameson Williams comes in on this. Sam Laporta still needs to kind of come along and have his big game, but I'm not sure I love it, man.
Okay, that's fine. Let's think about it. Give it some time. And if more injury news comes out on St. Brown, would that change your mind?
Potentially, but I mean, like,
yeah. I would have to take it into consideration then. I think he's going to play.
Okay. Let me throw this out there. Let's move on from Arizona. The Giants on the road against Cleveland. I loved Cleveland last week. I threw him in the free three. I thought there was massive overreaction. And just like we suspected, Jacksonville played down to their competition. They actually had more yards. Cleveland's offense didn't do much. Their defense the defense did exactly what they were inclined to do on the road. And now they're back home. I think this just feels like too many points. Dable's got to be on the hot seat. You heard one of the beat reporters, I forget who it was, but he said, are you concerned about your job? I would be. I would be concerned if I was Brian Dable. To me, this just feels like a field goal game. The Giants could steal a victory. The algo doesn't say that, but there is value in the line. I know it's uncomfortable for the Giants, but do you really think Cleveland can beat a team by 6.5 points? I don't. I don't.
My problem with this one, Alex, I'll just talk to you about this.
Mitch just said his piece and peaced out, dude.
My problem with this one is purely what we know and what we don't know. What we know is that this Cleveland defensive line is disgusting and this Giants offensive line is not great. And the one thing that we know the Giants have is Malik Nabers, and the one thing we know Cleveland has is Denzel Ward. And those are two matchups that I think innately favor the Cleveland Browns, and it just deters me a bit. And not to say that Browns can't beat somebody by six, but I just worry about New York even being able to score against Cleveland.